That's what I said.
James is darn good. But he's better. And I'm better than both of them. No brag, just fact.
Liberty Lounge, brought to you every Friday night from 8 to 10 p.m. Pacific Time. Listen to classic country music in the Liberty Lounge to help you end your week on a pleasant note. We'll have sad songs.
I go out walking after midnight.
Happy songs.
I'm the happiest girl in the whole USA.
Patriotic songs.
Somewhere in a distant land, so many miles away.
Songs of tragedy.
Two little boys and an old family dog. By the banks of a stream, said one day.
Love songs.
Welcome to my world.
And good old honky tonk music.
I'm a honky tonk man. And I can't seem to stop. I love to give the girls a...
So join me every Friday night and just let your hair down for a couple of hours here on Liberty Lounge.
But we have to stop looking for salvation in this system. The system is not going to fix itself. If the system is restored, it will be restored with the hammer of patriotism smacking this system out between the anvil of freedom. and teaching this system that there is a shape we wanted to maintain, and that we have the forge of rage, and we will put that system in that forge of rage, and we will use that hammer of liberty and pound it against the anvil of freedom until it returns to the shape we want it to be in.
And it's time for the shooting bench. If political incorrectness offends you, or if you don't like guns, or if you don't believe our government is corrupt enough to compare to 1938 Nazi Germany, this may not be the show for you, because for the next 2 hours, that's all we're going to talk about. You need to understand that there's a storm coming. You need to understand that the storm is building strength. And most of all, you need to understand that
we are the storm.
Hello. Yeah, there it is. Okay, we made it. Welcome to the Shooting Bench. It is Monday, the 24th of April. Month is screaming by here. Had a little trouble getting my sound on there for a minute. I apologize for a little bit of dead air. Let me see what we got going on in the chat room here. See who all's here. We've got, let's see here, Desert Rats with us again, the Tinker. Doc, Mini, Mountain Shooter, Northwest Heavy, Yakima Glock, Radio Doc. Radio Doc, you must have lost your password or something. Your thing doesn't look the same there. Got a few anonymous in there, so good. Still got some trickling in. So let me see. Let me turn this noise off here so it doesn't continue to interrupt us. If I can figure out. There we go. Okay. Susie B., thank you. Susie B.'s listening on XIAA. I'm not sure how you pronounce that, but I used to use that. And then we've got some that listen on TuneIn, which seems to work better for me. So, anyway, as long as they're listening, I don't care what they listen on. Doc, I don't know where you come up with all these things all the time. Glad you do, though. Always makes it worthwhile. Okay, wind is howling here tonight. All day it has been. I've been outside working in it, and I'll tell you what, I bet it's been every bit of 60-mile-an-hour gusts sometimes, maybe more. It has really been a mess. But it's bringing a storm in here, looks like, day after tomorrow. So one of those things, I reckon. Amy couldn't be with us tonight. Guess what? Our oldest daughter is here with a house full of grandkids, the ones that lived with us there for a little while. So they came in for a special visit, so we're glad to have them. And, of course, Amy's visiting with them, which is way more important to her than this radio show. So I'm going to try to fill in for her here for this first little bit. We got plenty to talk about. It's not going to be a problem. We got lots of stuff going on. My goodness. The crystal ball runneth over tonight with all the things happening. So first off, I think first we need to talk about what's going on in the trials in Nevada. This has not turned out good. It could have been a lot worse, but it could have been one whole hell of a lot better. For those of you that are not keeping up with this, the trials we're talking about are some guys that were involved in the activity up at Bundy Ranch. And these are the guys that they didn't do anything wrong. None of them did anything wrong. But they kept trying and kept trying and kept on and kept on until the jury finally decided that they did some things wrong, at least some things. So it appears that there may be, I believe there was a mistrial declared today. This has been so confusing. It's unbelievable. If you've kept up with it, you know what I'm talking about. If you hadn't, you'll never understand until you go back and study. But let me give you just a real quick summary here of some of the things that happened. You know that everybody on this in this trial, everybody that was on trial today and more, were found not guilty. Everybody found not guilty in Oregon that had to do with the Malheur refuge, what they call a standoff, which it was not a standoff. And so then they loaded up some of the ones that were in at Bundy Ranch that were at the refuge, took them to Nevada to retry them for, not retry them, but try them for things that they think they did wrong in Nevada at Bundy Ranch. So the it appears that the mistrial was declared today for most of the charges. There were six defendants in there, and this was the first Bunkerville trial that the first Bunkerville trial, I guess, was in February, 2 months ago. Now, one of the guys that was in there, his name was Greg Burleson. Greg Burleson was a paid FBI informant. And believe it or not, he had by far the most, was found guilty on the most charges. He was found guilty on 8 charges. The only other one that was found guilty for now was Todd Engel. Greg Burleson has been a paid informant for some time. I have mixed emotions about that. There is no excuse, none whatsoever, when you first think about this for someone being an informant. However, not everybody is as strong and dedicated as Anthony Bosworth. Anthony Bosworth would die. He would jump on a sword before he would bow to their wishes there or any amount of money. Anthony Bosworth is a different breed completely. But you take some of these people who are. And I don't know that Greg Burleson was, okay? I'm just saying all in general. And I, by the way, for all you feds that are listening tonight, there is no question in my mind, we've already been told that they tune into the shooting bench every now and again. So welcome. Maybe you'll learn something here. The mixed emotions I have, they find somebody who is vulnerable, who might be susceptible to a monetary reward or award for information. And, of course, you take somebody that is, you know, wants to do the right thing. They convince them that they're doing good for their country, that they're, you know, blah, 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 trying to make them feel good about themselves and righteous in what they do. And they would offer them an amount of money that would cloud their, you know, impair their judgment a little bit. So while I do not agree whatsoever with any informant, with being an informant, I would have to say that I think they pick some out there that are the easiest to coerce into things like this. This is exactly how they got Bill Keebler to do what he did back there a few months ago.
Now, that being said, since I am not a fan of paid federal informants, what happened to Greg Burdison, as patriotic as he may have been or thought he was at one time, is not on the top of my list of priorities or concerns. Some of the others are. But I'll say that Greg Burdison now apparently is blind and unable to get around on his own in jail, and I'm not sure what caused that, but I can be pretty certain that he's not receiving the care that he should if he were somewhere else. But let this be a lesson to those of you that may break and decide to do this at some point. Regardless of what's you've been told by whoever, there's nothing to guarantee that you will not be thrown under the bus when this is all over. Greg Burdison has the most charges of anyone and is in the worst shape in jail. That's his payoff. That's his return for what he probably thought he was trying to do for his country. So, Doc, that's a good idea, and maybe you and me ought to get together one of these Wednesdays and do something like that. I'll give you a holler, and we'll see if we can put something like that together here in the not too distant future. I think that's a good idea. So anyway, Greg Burdison, initially, now some of you have heard that Dan Love, it was forbidden to bring Dan Love's name up in there, even though he was in charge. You remember Dan Love was the low-life jackbooted thug that was in charge at Bundy Ranch. And most of these other high-profile instances, I think he was up at the refuge, too, as far as that goes. So Todd Engel started out defending himself and doing a pretty good job. However, it got to a point in the trial where he mentioned Dan Love's name after they had been told not to bring it up. Now, this is where I start having a real problem with this. Dan Love was very instrumental in this whole thing. Dan Love was one of the people that, if there's anybody's name that should be brought up, it should be his. Why is it that the prosecution can name people's name that cannot be brought up, and they get weeks and weeks, months to prepare for this, and they call in as many people as they want, and the defense gets, I don't know how long it was, a few days or a couple of weeks. It wasn't long to prepare, and they had a limited number of people that they could call in as witnesses, or call in for their testimony. So that is way wrong in and of itself right there. So Todd Engel, it was going pretty well until he did that. And then the judge was no longer allowed to defend himself because he brought up Dan Love's name. Todd Engel today was found guilty in two charges that apparently may only bind him to time served in jail. But we won't find out until the 27th of July, which adds 3 months to his time served. So we don't know exactly what other charges were against him. Now, the jury found these charges here, found these guys guilty on a couple of things, found them not guilty on a whole lot of others, and it was basically a hung jury on the rest of them. Now, it was a hung jury, but they declared a mistrial. Now, I didn't know that you could do both. So the next trial will be very interesting. Actually, there's a hearing scheduled for the 25th of May, which may determine new trial date for those that were involved in the quote-unquote mistrial today. The next trial will be a good one. It will be, it's supposed to start on the 26th of June. And that will be the Bundys, Cliven, Ammon, Ryan. Now, Dave, I believe, got out. I think Dave went home. I'm not positive. I don't know why his name's not on the list. But Cliven, Ammon, and Ryan Bundy and Pete Santilli. Dave's probably, I think he's still there. Come to think of that. I spoke out of turn there. So anyway, this is supposed to start on June 26th, and they're projecting this to last as long as 4 months. This is that, speedy trial and all that stuff that we're supposed to get. The same judge, which has turned out to be a complete nightmare, an absolute unconstitutional, just an abomination to the Constitution and liberty in general, Gloria Navarro, is going to try this case too. She has been a complete train wreck in this deal. They say that there's no way that she could or would conduct two trials that are this complex and this complicated back to back. So the retrial of the case determined today would be a mistrial, not to begin until November. So that is that's nothing but a shame. That's a damn shame right there. But anyway, let me read you some of the charges here, some of the stuff that went on. Let me go find this. I went through this today, so I somehow missed some of these. But here are on count six. Use and carry of a firearm. Greg Burdison found guilty. The jury found, in addition, guilty of brandishing his weapon. Hung jury, no verdict on all the others. Now, how is use and carry of a firearm a crime? There has to be use and carry, I would think, use and carry of a firearm in commission of some other crime, or while driving and drinking and skiing down the mountain or whatever. Use and carry of a firearm, that's a ridiculous. Threatening a federal officer, Greg Burdison is found guilty, hung jury, and no verdict on all the others. Use and carry of a firearm during a crime of violence. Okay, now I understand that. Greg Burdison found guilty, and the jury found, in addition, guilty of brandishing his weapon. So that's two different brandishings there. I'm not sure exactly how that works. Hung jury on all the rest of them. Obstruction of justice. Greg Burdison, Todd Engel, both found guilty. Hung jury on all the rest. No verdict. Interference of commerce and extortion. Now, I don't know what led to this. I have no idea what they're talking about there. But anyway, Greg Burdison found guilty. Hung jury. No verdict on all the others. Remember, Greg Burdison is the paid federal informant. See count 15, use and carry of a firearm. Greg Burdison is found guilty. Jury found, in addition, guilty of brandishing his weapon. Let's see, was that the same as what? No, that's a different one. Count 6 and 15 sound very much the same. Count 16, interstate travel and aid to extortion. Greg Burdison, Todd Engel, both found guilty. Hung jury, no verdicts on all the others. Now, interstate travel and aid to extortion. Now, that seems like something that's pretty made up to me. Interstate travel and aid to extortion. Who was extorted exactly? Where was extortion in the Bundy Ranch thing? this, how did the jury even look at this with a straight face and say, what are you talking about? What do you mean extortion? Why are we even talking about this at all? Anyway, the jury was instructed to deliberate further on all the hung jury things, and that's how I guess that they came up with the mistrial, which that doesn't seem right to me either. So anyway, that's some of the things that are going on right now. I'm getting some stuff new in right now. I'll have to check on this later. But lots of stuff happening, lots of stuff going on right now. Let me check. There's another one. Okay, I think that we can wait. All right. Now, we do have some other pretty important things. Remember, tonight's 2 hours. Our first hour usually is taken up by Miss Amy, the love of my life. But like I said, grandkids are here tonight, so radio show definitely takes back seat to that for Miss Amy. So a lot of other things to talk about. We'll get with that here in just a minute. Let me see if I can get now. Well, I've got a few more things to say about this too. So I'm going to go ahead and go to a break. And when we get done, I think I need to talk about this just a little bit more. So stay with me, and I will be back.
I don't like to brag. I don't like to brag, but we're kind of proud of that ragged old flag. You see, we got a little hole in that flag there when Washington took it.
Does this country remind you of the America that you grew up in? Do your children enjoy the same freedoms that you did when you were young?
When you think that you can take me on, you must be crazy. There ain't a single thing you've done that's gonna faze me.
I know you loved him a long time ago, and even now in my arms, you still want him, I know. But darling, this time let your memories die. When you hold me tonight, don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes, let it be me. Don't pretend it's him in some fantasy. Darling, just once, let yesterday go, and you'll find more love than you've ever known. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight. Don't close your maybe I've been a fool, holding on all this time. Lying here in your arms, knowing he's in your mind. But I keep hoping someday that you'll see the light. Let it be here tonight. don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Let it be me. Don't pretend it's him in some fantasy. Darling, just once, let yesterday go. You'll find more love than you've ever known. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight. And don't close your eyes. Don't close your eyes. Let it be me. Don't pretend it's him in some fantasy. Darling, just once, let yesterday go. You'll find more love than you've ever known. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight. And don't close your eyes. Just hold me tight when you love me tonight. And don't close your eyes.
Are you going to agree? Our freedoms are waning and we'll lose our liberty. Slipping one by one until there's nothing left to see. Are you willing to stand with me? Are you just going to let it be? The ranchers are first, but brother, next it may be me. We all stand together or we'll hang separately. Are you going to the tree? Are you willing to be free? It won't get any easier to regain lost liberty. Strange things are happening in this land that once was free. So brother, I ask you, are you going to stand by me?
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
All right, I'm back. I have one other thing I wanted to say about this thing that went on, this trial. I hate to even call it a trial. What a joke it was. But another thing I wanted to say, and I have to wonder about this. As time has gone on through, you know, many years here, you know, starting 1775, but let's go back to the 1960s and look at the civil disobedience that went on in the 60s. And look at the arrests that were made and the activity that went on during these things. And look up into the, you know, late 60s and 70s to the Vietnam protests and all that. And so we've progressed, or maybe what's the opposite of progress? Anyway, we've gone the opposite direction. And people have been saying practically forever, but getting stronger since the 90s, there was a handful of people, 70s and 80s. When I say a handful, I mean one small handful. In the 90s, there started to be quite a few more people saying something has to be done. We cannot continue to live like this. We've got to get this country, you know, returned, the power returned to the people, and get the government under control. And in the 90s, there was quite a few more saying it. Still wasn't a lot, but there was more. And there's been more each and every year since the 90s, with different activity, different events that has gone on. And with this that has happened, okay, we had a group of cowboys that stood against the government
twice.
And they received no speedy trial. They received very unfair, inhumane, actually illegal treatment. One was killed, as we all know, murdered. And I have to wonder what is next. This was both of these events, Bundy Ranch and the Refuge, were peaceful, put on by peaceful, reasonable people who tried to educate the public, and look what it got them. There has been a lot of people that has been standing by them and supporting them. There's been people driving and staying and living in Portland, Oregon, you know, from different parts of the country, and staying there and watching that. And then there's people now that are traveling regularly to Las Vegas to the trials there, and then all the and supporting the political prisoners that are in the in jail there. So what do you expect? Everything, to me, apparently, at least in my mind, I don't know, you know, I may be missing something, but it seems like pretty much everything is, all of the options have been used up. It seems that, I mean, you can take the kindest, gentlest old dog out there somewhere, and you kick him and be mean to him enough times, sooner or later he's going to bite you. You know, I always think about the, if you take a mouse and put him in a room and a cat gets him cornered, what does the mouse do? The cat is 75 times bigger than the mouse, has a mouth full of teeth. And what does the mouse do? Does the mouse stick his head in a corner and shiver and tremble and beg for mercy? The mouse, small as he is, will turn around and do his best to fight. You know, I can't help but think of the old poster. It used to be on calendars and posters and stuff in gas stations and whatnot. I've seen a few of them. And they had the bullfrog and the stork or a crane or something out there was fixing to swallow the frog, and the frog reached out and grabbed the there's no doubt the coyote out in the yard. Dogs are going crazy. Hope Amy takes care of it. And the frog reaches out and grabs that stork by the throat, and they call it the last great act of defiance. Animals, small as they are, will continue to fight, regardless of how big. You know, I may have to go out there. Something is going on. Hang on, stand by. Hold that thought and think about that for just a minute. And let me go out there and see what's happening. I'll be back.
Everybody's broke, Bobby's got a buck. Put a dollar's worth of gas in his pickup truck. We're going 90 miles an hour down a dead end road. What's the hurry, son? Where you gonna go? We're gonna howl at the moon, shoot out the light. It's a small town Saturday night. It's a small town Saturday night. Getting drunk and looking for a fight. Liquor on his breath, trouble on his mind. Well, Lucy's just a kid along for the ride. Got a six pack of beer and a bottle of wine. Gotta be bad just to have a good time. They're gonna holler at the moon, shoot out the light. It's a small town Saturday. Drops off sharp at the edge of town. Lucy, you know the world must be flat. Cause when people leave town, they never come back. They go 90 miles an hour to the city limit sign. Put the pedal to the metal before they change their mind. They howl at the moon, shoot out the light. It's a small town Saturday night. Yeah, I'll let the moon shoot out the light. Yeah, it's a small town Saturday night. It's a small town Saturday night.
Okay, I'm back. Apparently there's something going on. All the animals are up and around and looking around, so there's something prowling around out there, but I haven't got time to run all over the property looking for it, so we'll just let it run its course, I guess. Anyway, yeah, Graham said last time this happened. This was, you know, that was a year ago next month. You remember that? The night that I said I'll be right back, and I went out and then wound up killing a bear out in the goat pen. That was a year ago already. Jeez. Anyway. Okay, now what I was getting at, if you guys have thought about this a little bit, we've been kicked a lot. We've been kicked and punched and jabbed and thrown under the bus and over and over and over and over. We've been very patient and very peaceful, you know, for, you know, most of us. And I just have to wonder at what point will enough be enough? They have proven here that being patient and law-abiding and peaceful and going by the book is not fruitful. It doesn't do what we had hoped that it would do. So I just can't help but wonder how much longer things like this will happen before the dog gets kicked for the last time. And somebody, you know, blows a cork somewhere along down the line at one of these events or a courthouse or a standoff or a whatever the case may be. So something to think about. So I guess we'll let that go for now. And we get new information on this, we'll share it with you. But it's pretty dismal right now. I'm very disappointed. Our Constitution is most definitely hanging by a thread. It means very little to the, as much as it means to most of us, it means virtually nothing to the government at all levels. Fortunately, there's still at the county level, some cities, not many, but a few. But at the county level, we still have a little bit of hope. There's a few good sheriffs out there, not nearly enough. We missed our grand opportunity to get one here when we were had the chance to get Graham Harbold in. I am still furious about that. That whole thing pissed me off till I couldn't see straight. It was a train wreck. It was a travesty. And I will not likely ever get over that. I was really looking forward to getting this county turned around, headed the right direction. Anyhow, it didn't work, so we'll have to do the best we can with what we got for the time being and see what happens in the future. So, with all that being said, there seems to be quite a bit of saber rattling going on in North Korea. And this is more than usual. There's things going on right now. President Trump called all of the called the entire Senate in for an emergency meeting right now in the UN Security Council today, I think. And there's Russia has moved equipment and troops to their border with North Korea. China has moved 150,000 troops over there. This is all real and verifiable. It's not. It's not the National Enquirer here. And so something is up. And the things that, I've been talking to my kids about this, things like this happening ever since they were big enough to understand English, since they were, a little longer than that, probably started talking to them when they were like, five, six. Sharing different odds and ends of things with them. Of course, they didn't understand a lot of it, but as they got older, I kept sharing more things, and then they started understanding more. So, but, over and over and over, I kept telling them things, this is what's going on, and one of these days, one of these days is here. One of these days is just about to rear its ugly head here. And some of us are better prepared than others. Some of us are quite prepared. But I don't think there's any of us that don't doubt, that don't wonder if we're prepared enough. Now, obviously, the answer to that lies in how in what event, what takes place, to what degree will it affect us here if something happens? Will it happen? Will it be fairly localized and over with in a few days or a few weeks in the, in that local area of North Korea? Possibly. That will depend solely on what China and Russia does if President Trump decides to do something over there. However it goes, I just can't imagine it being all that great of a deal. There is reportedly still two satellites floating around somewhere over the United States. I'm not sure that this is true. I know that there was one back, 2 years ago, that they didn't spot until it was already in a position to do something if it had been armed and their intention was to do anything. So I'm not 100% convinced that these two satellites exist. I do believe that they have, wholeheartedly, believe that they have the capability of doing that. Whether they've done it or not yet, I don't know. And if that is, that will not be a nuclear event that will destroy all of America, at least not in a not in the manner that most people think of nuclear events. It will be in the form of an EMP, or at least one. maybe more, maybe two, maybe half a dozen, I don't know. My problem with that is not the fact that the biggest problem, I don't think, is the fact that we have the potential of being knocked back to the 18th century. I don't think that's the biggest problem. I think the biggest problem is that it's only going to affect us. That means that North Korea will still be at full potential. Russia, China, everybody else out there that hates us. And our biggest enemies are not just going to be the people from next door or across the other side of the county, the toothless wonders that live back in the sticks that are looking for free stuff. Our biggest concern may be, on top of that, may be other countries that realize that we are crippled and helpless. I have no doubt that the military has some stuff that is hardened and prepared for this, but certainly not the whole thing. And even if they did, there's not going to be a whole lot of people of our service members that are going to participate in this. When they find out that all this is going on, they're going to go home. If it gets that bad, we don't know how bad it's going to get or if it's going to get. But it could. If it does get that bad, I am absolutely convinced that they will want to go be with their families. And even if our military was at full strength with equipment and communications and everything else, they may not have enough people to do a lot of good with it. So right now it's pure speculation. It's anybody's guess how bad it could be. It may only affect, a couple of states. It may be half, and nobody knows. Nobody knows to what degree it will affect the states that it does affect. Will it wipe out every single piece of electronic gadgetry that there is out there? Or will it only affect sensitive stuff like computers and whatnot? Will your flashlights and other things continue to work? Those of us that have tried to protect some of our electronic equipment, have we done a good enough job? We don't know for sure because it's an unknown. We're sailing in uncharted waters here. We don't have any idea. We get different opinions of how to protect, and some people claim that doing it one way is more than good enough, and others say that's not going to help a bit because the electrical charge current will sneak in under the foil tape and get into the box. Anyway, nobody knows. We'll see. Some of us have tried. We've done the best that we could. So if it works, great. If it doesn't, we'll be right along with everybody else. So, along those same lines, something that I've been thinking about here a little bit lately. Let me bring this up here on my crystal ball. Stand by just a minute. Just go get a glass of milk or something. Come back here. Hold on just a second. Okay, not that one, not that. Here we go. All right, get your glass of milk. Sit down. Here you go. This happened today. Some of you know what BART is. BART is the Bay Area Rapid Transit System, the subway in San Francisco and out in that area. Today, 40 to 60 teens swarmed a train and robbed the BART riders, the BART customers. 40 to 60. This is not a. This is on all of the major California news sources. It's not just World News Daily Report or whatever the hell it is. 40 to 60 teenagers. They said police were there. Hold on a minute. I remember reading this earlier. Stand by. Police said 40 to 60 juveniles flooded the station, jumped the fare gates, and rushed the second-story train platform. Some of the robbers apparently held the doors open to the car while others streamed inside, confronting and robbing, in some cases beating, riders. At least two victims suffered head and facial injuries requiring medical attention. Bart spoke said Monday that seven people were robbed, with the victims losing a purse, a duffel bag, and five phones. Six people were robbed inside the train car, with the seventh confronted on the platform. Police received no reports of guns or other weapons being brandished. Well, they don't need to brandish guns because nobody else had one either. The attack was quick. Teenagers were able to retreat from the station and vanish into the surrounding East Oakland neighborhood before BART officers could respond. The train was held for about 15 minutes as authorities interviewed victims and witnesses. They said the police arrived at the station in under 5 minutes, but robberies took place in just seconds. No officers were at the Coliseum station, but were patrolling Oakland stations at the time. So this brings up several things here. One, the complete breakdown of society is almost complete. This is something that, by the way, it's almost break time, but since we took that unscheduled little break, we're going to go ahead and get through some of this here, and we'll take a break in a minute. We had, you remember last week, we had the guy that walked up to the 74-year-old vet and no reason other than to make a YouTube video, shot him in the head, killed him dead. And the number of terrorist attacks in this country since 1972. Have anybody thought about that? Maybe we'll have time to get into that here in a few minutes. How do you protect against that? Well, first thing everybody's going to say, well, buy a gun, get some training, have lots of ammo. You know what? In some cases, that might work. But the way a lot of these attacks are conducted, firearms not going to do you a bit of good. There are, for one thing, most of them are very carefully conducted in places where people are not allowed to carry guns. You know, there's only been a few that happened in areas where people were allowed to carry guns. And in a couple of those cases, they were actually stopped by people that were carrying guns. But it doesn't do any good for it to happen in a place that guns are allowed if people don't carry them. You know how big a pet peeve that is with me. But hang on a minute. Yeah, Doc, that's exactly right. Charles Bronson, that was a good show, or a series of shows. I think there was three of them there, three or four of them. What was it, Death Wish, I think? At any rate, if some of these have happened with explosives, some of them happen quickly in areas where you least suspect it, in places where you're not allowed to protect yourself. Most of us don't go to those kinds of places. You know, most of us are, of course, some of us work in places, whether it's airports, post offices, places where you may not be allowed to carry a gun. So I don't think that, as much as I, it pains me to have to say this, my first response is always to have a gun and know how to use it. Be good with it. I don't mean know how to use it by standing out behind the house with both feet firmly planted on a level gravel driveway and and shooting at a stationary paper target and shooting tidy little dime-sized groups. That's not what I'm talking about. That is not good with it. That's accurate, but it's not good. It's not the type of good that I'm talking about. Something a little more dynamic. Something where you have to shoot in amongst people that don't need to be shot. Something where you have to shoot people that are moving. Something where you shoot stationary people and you have to move. Sometimes you may have to shoot when you're moving and so are the people that you're shooting at. And in between you are people that don't need to be shot. Case in point, 40 to 60 teenagers on a subway. How do you deal with that? What a great case for high-capacity magazines. What a great case for real, good, realistic tactical training. Way above and beyond the NRA Personal Protection Course. If you are not both armed and well-trained and have the testicular fortitude to use that training and the armament that you have, then it's not going to do you a bit of good. And that's Graham's got good advice there. Make yourself a hard target, a strong target. They obviously go to great pains to look for soft targets. I hesitate to call them cowards. We say the things that they do, they appear cowardly to us. They're not cowardly to them. They don't mind dying. How about you? We're not promised 72 virgins, and we're not, we're not doing things in the name of our God. Not things like that. I have no intention of flying a plane into a tower somewhere. Not only will my moral values not allow it, I ain't brave enough. It's just not anything that's on my bucket list. I just don't want to do it. These people, what makes them such a horrible, formidable adversary is the fact that they ain't scared. They're proud of what they're doing. And they look forward to getting a decent showing for their efforts, a good body count, and charging into a gun show in downtown Atlanta is not going to do it. Or Phoenix, Arizona. But going someplace in Los Angeles or Boston or Baltimore or Seattle or someplace like that, quite a bit less likely to run into the kind of resistance that would be effective there. So here's my suggestion for a solution to this. Should you still be armed? Absolutely. Without question. Well armed, well trained. Part of that training, there's a few people on the chat room here that will attest to this. Part of that training, not only is it speed, accuracy, movement, shooting while moving, shooting at moving, so on and so forth. But part of that training is awareness. Extreme vigilance in what we do. Pay attention to that briefcase sitting around there with nobody around it. Your firearm, son, is not going to help you with that. if you linger longer than you should around something like that, then it may wind up being, thank you, Yakima Glock. Yeah, if you're in Seattle, then they got the whole town's got a much better chance. I agree. But there's a lot of things, you know, people, multiple, you know, one guy with a five-shot revolver may or may not have been able to ward off 40 to 60 teenagers on a subway. Now, they might have. If you'll read that book, it's a small book about Doc probably knows what this is. It's about a South African guy in a South African church. And he had a five-shot revolver, a little 38, and the church was attacked, and a lot of people were killed, people with AK-47s. And he was the only one that had a firearm. And along with that, now what kind of training he had, I don't know. But he had huevos against these extreme odds. He come out gun blazing with his little 38 and stopped that attack. Stopped it cold, stopped it quickly. So with a couple of shots and a couple of well-ventilated teenagers have stopped this attack, would the rest of them have fled out the door without doing any more? It's quite possible. It's very possible. The book is... I think it's called, I've got it right in there in my bedroom right now. I think it's called Shooting Back or something like that. It's a great little book. It's very small, easy to read. You can read it in a night or two, even if you're not much of a reader. Good information in it, though. And the whole book boils down to one man with a five-shot 38 in the face of multiple terrorists with AK-47s. Graham's right there. As soon as one of them went down, I'm convinced that even if they didn't, why would you not try? You're overwhelmed. There's a great number. You have no idea what they're going to do. They're already injuring some of the people there, beating them. Why would you not at least try? If you're good with it, this is why I'm not a big fan of carrying a five-shot 38 anymore. I did for years, but, you know, times have changed. The enemy that we look at now is a little different than it was, I think, than it was in the early 90s when I first started carrying religiously 365 days a year. I think that... You get somebody there with a good quality, reliable, semi-automatic, high-capacity magazines, more than one of them. And, you know, you start, there's no season, no bag limit on these things. So you start racking them up. And I think they're going to unass that subway just about as quick as they came in. Yeah, Doc, I agree with the effectiveness of the cartridge, providing certain things, standard 38s will probably never be as good as a 9mm, but you get the plus P's and shoot them in at least a 4-inch barrel, you are scaring the hell out of 9mm results there. But my problem is just having a 5-shot that as long as it takes to reload it, and no more capacity than you have. That was troublesome to me when I started. Matter of fact, it was I carried a 38 for probably a couple of years, and then I carried a Glock 23 for a little while.
weighing the odds at the time where I was working and everything else, I went back to the 38 and I carried it for about four more years. And then when I changed, let's see, I believe it was, I think it was 97 or 98 is when I went every day 100%, never looked back to one form or another of a Glock. And there's been some places that I go and some things that I do where it seems prudent to me to carry more than one magazine. So back to my solution to this, I think that this is a real thing. 40 to 60, where you only see that in movies. This happens in zombie movies. This happens in terrorism. It happens in Europe. It happens in Africa. It happens everywhere but America. And right now, today, it happened in America. I think it's time, and I've told everyone this before, but it seems timely to remind you again to think about your personal sacrifices, meaning maybe because of the theme of this particular movie or the location of this particular barbecue or whatever, maybe we should choose to do something else tonight. I know you've been wanting to go to pick a country, France, your whole life, and we've got the money to do it right now, but honey, I just don't think this is the time. I think unnecessary international flights are foolish right now. I know there are things that people want to do and like to do, want to do it before they die. Well, I don't want to do it and cause me to die either. I think there's, you know, as I said a while ago, times have changed. Things are to a point now where we need to be more prudent in our decisions in things that we're going to do and places we're going to go and who we're going to do it with and what we take when we get there. If you can't carry a gun, don't go. And that's one of the things with international flights. That's one of the things, even visiting Mexico, Canada. You know, how about visiting Wyoming? Beautiful. Lots of things to see up there. Sneak across the line, go to Yellowstone while you're there. Come on down through California. There's lots. I know California is not gun friendly, but it's not gun impossible. At least you can have one nearby, which you cannot do if you fly to Switzerland. We have a freaking ton of things to see in this country that is spectacular, breathtaking, beautiful. Less money spent, a lot safer to travel. Every single state in this country has one or more awesome things to go visit. Some more than others. There's a lot of attractions that are worth going to see in Florida, a lot in California, a lot in Texas. Well, if you're an outdoors type, Wyoming, Montana, Northern Nevada, Idaho, New Mexico, Arizona, if you like to explore your type to, you're a rock hound or like geology and stuff like that, the southwestern states have no peer. There's nothing like it. There's things that you can do without, there's a high capacity revolver. Yakima Glock just posted there.
pepper box, I believe they call them. So anyway, I know I've preached this before, but it has become time right now to think about this pretty seriously. So I believe what I'm going to do is take a little break here, and I'll be back.
Campfire, coffee, from a tin cup in my hand. It sure warms the fingers when it's cold.
Nobody will stand with you if you don't stand. God can't stand with you if you don't stand. And don't stand and then sit down. It's worse. It sets a precedent. No, count the cost. The cost may be dear. It may be everything. It may be your life. Okay? But unless we're willing to value freedom more than our lives, do we really deserve freedom? God can't stand with a man until the man stands. And so God is waiting for us to stand. And at that moment that when he stands, God could stand with him. And then the other thing is that people could stand with him. And nobody can stand with you until you stand.
With an eagle overhead, makes me long to fly away before my time. And I think God must be a cowboy at heart. He made wide open spaces from the start. He made grass and trees and mountains.
There's few things in this world worth dying for. Freedom is one of them. I'm here to tell you today, America, that I stand by that, and I stand with him. I'm willing to fight and defend our freedoms and to die for them. I ask you, America, stand with me. Put aside our differences, put aside our bickerings, and stand for what really matters. Stand for the freedom of this country. Learn of the knowledge of the Constitution and stand on it. Stand with me and stand with our families. Do not let what happened and what's happened for years go without reckoning.
A cowboy at heart. Cause he made wide open spaces from the start. He made grass.
To die, hands held high, no gun in sight. They shot him down on his way to town.
beneath the clear blue sky. Sings a cowboy song as the coyotes sing along. Spirit of a boy rides tonight. Spirit of a boy rides tonight. On a mountainside,
shredded, and it lives in your heart. You know what freedom is. What freedom isn't. Stand. Because when you stand, others will stand with you. No matter how it ends, it matters how you stand.
United to press forward with our Father's message that he fervently taught us that only a virtuous people are capable of freedom. These past few weeks, our Father has been called many names by the world. But I'll tell you what we call him. We call him Daddy. And we are grateful that our faith teaches us that families are forever.
Be a friend and trails to lead old cowboys home again. Trails to lead old cowboys home.
Welcome back to another segment of The Shooting Bench, right here on the Survival Circle Radio Network.
That ain't country. That ain't country.
Yeah, we trust you. Okay, we're back. That's I just feel impressed to play all these things by LaVoy, and just kind of a little memory jogger there for everything that happened here, a year and a half ago almost now, year and 4 months ago. It was a terrible thing. I'll tell you, I was definitely affected there when as a matter of fact, I was right in the middle of the show. It was in Amy's show, I think, when we got the news that LaVoy had been shot. We were right in the middle of a broadcast when we heard that. Anyway, and Doc is absolutely right. The people that shot him, not a bit better than the KGB or the Hitler's brown shirts or whatever. Okay, well, let's move on. We've talked about, stand by here just a minute. Why do I have stuff? Wow, that was, hang on just 1 second here. Got a little thing going on here I need to take care of. Stand by, I hate to have dead air, so I'll talk about nothing so we don't have dead air. All right, there we go. All right, let's get back to it. Got a lot of, got dozens, literally dozens of other stories here, but there's a few of these things I wanted to get out tonight that are very timely, things that are happening as we sprecken here. So, I got to go way back on my crystal ball. I got so many things. Oh, I got to apologize. I was supposed to be on last Wednesday, and I was in Tucson, and I was supposed to have had Wi-Fi there, and it was not available, and just not enough signal strong enough to do it through my phone. So we had to call it off, and then same thing Friday. So I very much apologize for that. So let me go back here and catch. There was something. Oh, here. This one, I know Graham will find this one especially interesting.
It's an older, though it's not that old. It's, well, it's a month old today. That's how far I am behind on my stories. But a Florida woman has been ordered to take down her Blue Lives Matter flag. You've seen those flags, right? It looks like an American flag, but it's got these are not desecrated flags. They are actually made this way. So, you know, if anybody takes a real American flag and sews a blue stripe down the middle of it, well, then I won't support it. But these flags were made this way, so it's okay. Anyway, she was ordered to take hers down, one that she's been flying for some time now, by her homeowners association. This was in St. Johns County, Florida. So she's been flying the flag to honor her dad and other family members who are in law enforcement. She called to ask why. And they told her they'd received a complaint, get this, that it's considered racist, offensive, and anti-Black Lives Matter. Okay. Color me stunned. Are you kidding me right now? Anti-Black Lives Matter? I am speechless. I don't know what you get one person, even if it's a couple of people that complain. Do they get everybody in the housing area there, in the apartment complex or the trailer park or whatever it is? Okay, let's have a community meeting. Everybody in the trailer park, if you want to say so about this, be at this meeting tonight at 6 o'clock. We have one person that has complained. If you don't live in this community, shut up. Go away, you're not welcome to the party. If you do live in this community, and there is a majority of you that find this offensive, racist, and anti-Black Lives Matter, then we'll talk about it, see what can be done. If there's one person, go home. Shut up. Problem solved. That's it. That's all there is to it. This is like the thing we talked about how many hundred times over the years. About supposedly, I've never been able to actually prove this, but it sounds reasonable to me, that there's 86% of America are Christians and 14% that are not. Or 14% that are atheists. Maybe that would be better. So why is it that one person complains about the Ten Commandments somewhere, or a small group of people, and you have an entire community that thinks it's okay, but we got to take it down because somebody was offended? I was not offended, so don't take it down. I will be damn sure solidly offended if you mess with it. You take it down, and I will be offended. Rest assured. I don't understand. I don't get what has happened to our society. What has happened to the men? I think we have about as many women standing up and doing for their rights now as we do men. It's so much easier just to sit back, get a cold beer, sit around in front of the TV and bitch about it than it is to actually go out and go to these city council meetings and these trials and these rallies and these other types of meetings where things like this are addressed, it would be a whole lot more effective if more of us get out. Squeaky wheel gets the grease, and it turns out that the libs always are the squeakiest. I wrote a thing about this in, yeah, I saw that, Minnie. I know they're removing all this Civil War stuff in New Orleans. And that's, that is very, very disturbing to me. I'm not from the South, but it is part of our history and our heritage. Good, bad, or indifferent doesn't make any difference. It's part, it's there, it's real. That's right. Now I'm offended that they're offended. That's right. I believe that everything that has affected our history in any manner, including learning about Muslims and everything else, I think is something. Now, should we get a prayer rug out there and face Mecca and sit out there and moan and groan and carry on at certain times of the day? Because no, we shouldn't. And our children should not be made to. Should they learn about why they do that in different cultures and different religions? Absolutely. Absolutely. Without question. I spent a lot of time down there, Doc. That counts for something. I lived down southeast Texas and Georgia for quite a while, so I'm kind of an adopted Southern boy. And maybe that's where some of my prejudice comes from, you know, my bias towards the South. But when I was down there, I was proud to be an American, just like I am when I'm in Arizona or Wyoming or anywhere else. And whether or not the entire thing that we're told happened the way they say it did, as far as history goes, I don't know. I don't care. It's part of our history. That's what we're taught. And if we take everything with, I won't say with a grain of salt, but keep an open mind and know that there may be things come up from time to time that will be contrary to what we learned, that doesn't mean that you go and destroy everything that was a part of it. We do know that the South flew those flags. We do know that whatever events happened that caused it, that the South lost the war. Those are real things. So taking those monuments down and griping about the flags and all this stuff to me is asinine. It's childish. It's ridiculous. It's uncalled for. And I'm just very much opposed to the whole thing. But anyway, I get off on a tangent once in a while and get pissed off about things. Sorry about that.
So let's see if we can get back to where we were at. We were talking about the flag here. The association asked the woman who did not want to be identified for fear of backlash to submit a request for permission to fly the flag, which has since been denied. They knew they were going to deny it to start with because they already asked her to take it down. So you take that flag down, you have to send us a letter to ask permission, and we'll deny it. Okay. Action News in Jacksonville reached out to the First Coast Association management, which said only American and military-themed flags are allowed to fly in the neighborhood, even though there are other types of flags flying. We've seen that happen quite a bit. He said the flag is the only show of support the family is planning to appeal the decision to the next homeowners association. Well, you know, if it was Lavoy Finicum or Cope Reynolds, we would fly it anyway. It has nothing to do
with racism. It has nothing to do with anti-anything. It is support for law enforcement, particularly the fallen law enforcement. Okay, well, that's all I can stand to that story right now. That was old news right there about the Russian warships steaming towards U.S. destroyers. It's been there, done that already. So let me catch up here. We've done that one and that one. We didn't do this one. Here's a guy that has... This is one of the things that bothers me about, constitutionally, I do not believe that we should be able to, we have to force people to take concealed carry classes. I think Arizona and a couple other states have got it correct where, yes, constitutional carry, as they call it, is fine. However, if you would like a permit to go to other states, you're going to have to take a certain amount of training and get one. And during this training, in most places, good, reputable concealed carry training. By the way, for those of you in eastern Arizona, we will be holding a CCW class tomorrow night in Snowflake. If you're interested, get a hold of me. Just go to southwestshootingauthority.com and get a hold of us there. Or it's a short notice. It's an urgent deal for a group of people. So if you want in on it, let me know. This guy gets probation for pulling a gun on kids accused of destroying a Trump sign. Good night, Doc. Glad you joined us there for a while. Looks like Radio Doc's having a hard time keeping his stuff going there. Something's going on. So, 56-year-old man pulled a gun on 6 kids who he believed destroyed a Trump sign outside his home. Given probation this week. He's damn lucky he got only probation. In most states, that could be considered pretty serious, possibly even a felony. Oregon is very, very bad about brandishing a weapon for stuff like that. So this during your training, if you get good quality, reputable training, they'll tell you that gun does not come out for any reason whatsoever until it is a last resort. You don't pull the gun out to try to scare people away. You don't pull the gun out. That being said, in Arizona, we do have provisions that allow just that. Where if there is a self-defense situation or about to become a self-defense situation, you are allowed to, and I forgot exactly how that part of the statute is worded, but you are allowed to present that weapon and use it to literally to intimidate someone into stopping what they're doing. Most states do not have any such law. And when you pull that gun out, it better be a last resort. And you don't pull it out to scare people away for messing with a sign. You don't pull it out to scare people away that are stealing gas out of your truck. Even though, like states like New Mexico, it's legal to protect property. As I've asked the question before on this show, how much property is worth the trouble that you're going to get in potentially for pulling that gun out? Stealing gas to me ain't it. If I go out there to stop him and he pulls a tire tool on me, that'll be different. But I am not going to stop him from stealing gas with a gun. There was a case in New Mexico where a guy did just that and killed the guy that was running away after stealing his gas, and he actually got away with it, which surprised the hell out of me. Anyway, this guy admitted to pulling a gun on the kids aged 12 and 14 years old. 12 and 14 years old, he's got to pull a gun on. But said he was only trying to scare him, and the gun was never loaded. This is getting worse and worse by the minute. Responding officers confirmed that just as he said, the gun was not loaded. Kitts told authorities that he accused him of damaging a sign in his yard, pulled the gun on him, and then told him to sit down and wait for police to arrive. When officers got to the home, the kids were sitting in the grass while he was standing over him, yelling and cursing at him. Still unknown whether the kids that he held at gunpoint were the ones responsible for destroying the sign, but neighbors previously said they had problems with young kids in the neighborhood destroying property. Anyway. Anonymous 6670. I don't know. Let's see. I'm not sure who that is. Might be Susie B. Anyway. Okay. But that's one of the reasons why I'm opposed to it. It's kind of a sticky wicket there. I'm opposed, constitutionally, I'm opposed to making people get training. However, because we have been so dumbed down as far as guns go overall nationwide, not so much in some places as others, but overall for so many years, nobody knows how to handle a situation like this anymore. They get the dumbest, stupidest little benign event of some kind and pull a gun and wind up either in trouble or having injured or killed someone over something ridiculous, like taking down a Trump sign. How stupid was that? Anyway, I did that one already. Never mind. I need to get my podcast caught up here so I can get rid of some of these. Let's see here. Yeah, I think I did this one. This was Delta's policy, Delta Airlines, on carrying guns on the flight. I think we did that one too. I've got to get rid of some of these. All right. Here's one I know I didn't do. I was going to save this till Wednesday, but I'm going to do it just because I'm kind of got them in order here and need to get rid of some of them. So here was a guy. He was in a competition here. And those of you that shoot, you know, IPSC and some of these things, they at the end of the deal, they say unload and show clear. This was... This was a shooter that was unloading his handgun when this happened. And it shows the brass flowered out, obviously is blown up. And this was when the shooter, most of us will, when we unload and show clear, we'll put our hand over the ejection port, rack the slide after we've taken the magazine out, and dump that round into our hand. Well, something has happened to this one that caused it to blow up when he opened the deal. There's clarification here. They said this was not a malfunction. It was not a failure to fire, and the primer was never struck. What happened in the unloading process, the shooter's hand covered the ejection port. The round most likely ejected into the hand, but since the hand was so close to the ejection port, it got caught between the slide and the barrel. Now, Yakima Glock, if he's still there, radio doc, can attest to the fact that when I teach people to do this, is that you rack the slide into your hand, rack the round into your hand, retain your purchase on the slide, close your, or at least point your hand in such a way that gravity keeps the ground in away from the ejection port, and you ease the slide forward. I've warned people about this by having that round in your hand and doing it quickly and being cool, unload and show cool. that if the corner sharp edge of that ejection port happens to hit that primer sharply while your hand is cupped over it, you will have what is termed as an open breech detonation. The technical term for that is bad. Very, very bad. So when you, and this is exactly what happened to this guy, and this is exactly what I warn you against in unloading your guns. If you look at the primer in the pictures here, it shows a good straight crease all the way across the diameter of the primer, not the diameter, the radius of the primer. So it was hit pretty firmly, and it may have actually been seated out a little bit too far. I don't know. It doesn't say whether it was a reload or not. But it could have been seeded out a little bit far, which just increases the likelihood that this could happen. So by cupping your hand on there and getting caught on the slide, as the slide tried to close, then the round goes off and you've had a problem. excuse me. That snuck up on me. Let's see. The following is a story relayed to me. I do not have firsthand knowledge of this, but I do trust the source. The pictures are of a recovered case and projectile after a shooter attempted to eject a live round during an unloading evolution. Now, this is why some places will teach you not to cup your hand over the ejection port and to stand by. Not to cup your hand over the ejection port and just rack it out on the ground. Well, that doesn't always work either. Twice during the many times that I went out to a unmentionable place out in Nevada to train, twice I saw rounds go off that were jacked out on the ground. And is that unlikely? Boy, is that ever unlikely. It has to land on gravel just right and has to be going a certain speed before that can happen. It is highly unlikely. But I saw it happen twice. Now, the thing about it is, when the shell is uncontained like that, there's really not a whole lot of danger. Maybe a little splinter in the shin, wearing eye protection stuff, you're fine. It didn't make a real loud noise either time, and there was no injuries because of it. So, I guess in that regard, since there was no injuries and injuries are incredibly unlikely, maybe it is the safer way. But I think the safest way is to cup it into your hand, close your fingers around the shell, ease the slide forward, bring your hand back towards your body and pocket the round, not in front of the muzzle, pocket the round. And at that time, check the magazine well, check the chamber, make sure they are both in the condition that you want them to be in. And then go on about your business, whether you're going to holster the gun or do a dry practice drill or whatever the case may be. So that's my take on that whole deal there. So let's look. Let me get back over to the chat room here real quick. Oh, there's Susie B. jumped in. Susie B., I appreciate you. You know what? I appreciate all of you. But Susie B is on top of it with Minnie is my one on the chat room that keeps track of things, keeps things going for me. Susie B is the one that's off the chat room, always on one of the other apps on TuneIn or XIAA or whatever it is, and lets me know that we have sound and kind of keeps me in line there. And I appreciate both of you for that extra bit of service there. All right, let's see. Yakima Glock, that is exactly right, like a firecracker. You put a firecracker, a good-sized firecracker, in an Alka-Seltzer bottle, and you could have problems. You just throw it out on the ground, it makes a lot of noise, not a big deal. Try to contain it, and it could be an issue. So, one of those things. Unload properly. Let's see.
Let me finish reading this official report here. Shooter had covered the ejection port with his hand, attempted to capture the live round rather than letting it eject freely from the ejection port. The round was trapped under the pressure of the recoil spring in between the edge of the ejection port and along the edge of the breech face and the front of the ejection port on the right side of the slide. There is a noticeable linear denting of the nose of the projectile and an obvious strike point on the rear of the case and the primer. The projectile could not escape, and the resulting effect was for the case to burst. Pressure from the burning propellant was absorbed by the shooter's hand. He will not be able to make this mistake again. So apparently, he lost some fingers here. It's a sobering lesson for many shooters. No one ever really believes that this could happen to them. It doesn't show a picture of his hand. It says that he will not be able to make this mistake again. Sounds to me like his hand's either paralyzed, or fingers missing or something. Doesn't show, though. Doesn't say. Let's see. No, it doesn't say anything about it. Oh, well. Anyway, don't do it, okay? Just leave it at that. There was kind of a neat story in here. Thank you, Susie B. Appreciate you. It was kind of a neat story. This was a couple of guys that wanted to see. This is kind of like stuff I used to do all the time, shooting 55-gallon drums full of water and 5-gallon buckets of water and shooting into the water, shooting underwater, doing all this kind of stuff. Well, these people took that one step higher than that. They took 2,200 pounds of water. This was a tank that was I forgot how big it was, like 6 feet long and 4 feet square or something like that. Anyway, they shot it with a cannon. I mean, a real honest-to-goodness cannon. This was a 10,500-grain solid projectile from a small field artillery piece. Now, this field artillery piece was a cannon like a Civil War cannon, not a modern artillery piece. And the projectile was obviously something fairly soft, because I saw the projectile after they were done. It mushroomed out pretty good. And Northwest Heavy, that's probably right. He can't make the mistake again because they took his 1911 away. That's right. Northwest Heavy lost a fine-looking 1911 up in Vancouver one time. It looked good, but that was where it ended. Had a little bit of problem with that gun, and so he managed to pawn that off on somebody else and bought him a real gun and never looked back from it. They said this avocado-sized projectile carried something like 46,000 foot-pounds of energy, and they set it off practically point-blank range, so something somewhere had to give. So there's a little video of them doing this, and believe it or not, this, I believe the water deal was 6 feet long, and it did not exit. It mushroomed very, very nicely and destroyed the thing holding the water, because the water expanded, you know, with the just like the 55-gallon drum. If you go on YouTube and watch the 55-gallon drum that we shot with various handguns and rifles and whatnot, this did the same thing, except it was much more dramatic. And oh, yeah, I remember Northwest Heavy, absolutely. Pretty interesting video. Watch this. But it goes to show you that you need to be careful about hiding behind
containers of water, depending on the velocity and size of the projectile that's being shot at you. If it's a handgun going kind of slow, we have proven that it'll zip through a 55-gallon drum without any trouble.
Okay, well, the Yakima Glock, let me see if I can, before I sign off here, you want to watch that video, let me see if I can, I'm going to have to type this in because I've got it on my phone, so I can't cut and paste it, but give me just a second here, and I'll type this in. As a matter of fact, I tell you what I'm going to do, Yakima Glock, you hang in there, I'm going to go ahead and close. And while that close is playing, before I sign off, I'll get this URL typed in for you so that you can watch that video. Fair enough? All right, sound good. All right, I will see you all Wednesday. I'm going to still be in town. I don't have anything else to do. I'm not going anywhere. So we should have a good time Wednesday night. So I'll talk to you then. I sure appreciate you guys joining me. I'm going to put on a song after this deal here, so I'll have time to do what I need to do.
And again on Fridays from 7 to 10 for the Shooting Bench. Good night, and thanks for joining me.
No explanation, no reconciliation. No, let's talk it over. Number I can call. Goodbye says it all. Says it all.
On the Chisholm Trail it was midnight. Carmelo was strong on his mind. Because of the life he had chosen, Carmela had left him behind. Too long he'd been El Bandito. Carmela had left him alone. But today someone wrote a message. She'd been seen in old San Antonio. Cross the Brazos at Waco. Ride hard and I'll make it back home. Cross the Brazos at Waco. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. He glanced back over his shoulder. The posse was nowhere in sight. It sent for Carmela to meet him on the banks of the Brazos tonight. She was waiting and he kept the promise he had made such a long time ago. As he dropped the guns that she hated in the muddy Brazos below. Cross the Brazos in Waco. Ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos in Waco. I'll walk straight in old San Antonio. Then the night came alive with gunfire. He knew that at last he'd been found. As the Ranger's badge showed brightly, El Bandito lay on the ground. Carmela knew he was dying, that all of her dreams were in vain. As she kissed his lips for the last time, she heard him whisper again. Cross the Brazos in Waco. Ride hard and I'll make it by dawn. Cross the Brazos in Waco. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio. I'm safe when I reach San Antonio.
God bless Texas.
God bless Texas.